In the precious name of Jesus this morning, it's a blessing and a pleasure to be in the house of God and to be here and share this day with you. Bring you greetings from Susquehanna Valley, and if you ever get up that way, stop in. We enjoy visitors up there as well. So we think about the, I feel like I know a number of you, but I look forward to learning to know you better this weekend, or this today, as we share this day together. As I think about the subject that is before us, and I think about all the ways that we could go with this subject, and the importance of this subject, you know, okay, we're looking at a godly marriage. And then this afternoon, we're going to look at train up a child. And then this evening, we're going to look at youth and planting a foundation, putting a foundation for the future. And while youth need to lay their own foundation, God instituted the home first. God instituted one man and one woman, and he put them together, and they too had children. And from there, the human race grew into what we have today. And our world today is in a shambled estate of broken homes, broken marriages, broken people, and they have no way to fix it. They don't have any way to fix it. And it's sad to see. And some of those homes aren't out in the world either. Some of those homes sit in our benches. Some of those homes, the human race is not without fault. It's not without problems. It's not without failures. If you are here this morning looking for answers, I don't have answers for you. But God does. God sets forth a pattern for home life, for married life, and it's an ideal pattern, and we need to pattern our lives after his pattern. You can turn to Ephesians 5 for our text this morning. The foundation for marriages. What foundation? What is a foundation for starters? When we think of a foundation, I was a builder for a number of years, and there's one time we showed up to a job, and there was a concrete wall that was about 10 inches thick and about 60 feet long, and right through the middle was this gigantic crack, stood apart about an inch. It was totally unfit to build on. We stopped, we went to another job. They had to come back, they had to tear that wall out, and they had to fix it before we began to build on it. If we had built on that, if we had said, oh, fine, it's just a crack, we'll just do a little bit of repair and keep on going, it'll work out in the end. Water, frost, this would have all been under dirt. Water, frost, and other things would have got in there, would have heaved and pushed that wall, and eventually the wall would have fell in. There's another house in a local town where it was an older house, and some of the older foundations, the mortar is crumbly, and it's kind of, you know, the stones. There was a bunch of rain through the week. We had quite a bit of rain, and the side basement wall of the house went, just fell in, just got pushed in because of the pressure of the dirt and stuff against it. So a foundation is important, because without a foundation, we have the story in the Bible of the wise man and the foolish man, and he gives the idea of them both building a house. One built it on sand, and the other built it on a rock. One built it on something that will move, and the other one built it on something that won't move. So I asked the question this morning, what is your home built on? What is your marriage built on? If it's not built on something that is firm, it will move. It will absolutely move. And there is only one firm foundation. You know, in building, there are many different types of foundations. But in Christ's kingdom, the foundation for the home, the foundation for the marriage needs to be built on one thing. And that's the rock, Jesus Christ. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Now, in our text here this morning, I'm going to read verse 21 to the end of the chapter, Ephesians 5, verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body and his flesh and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Now, I find it very interesting that, yes, he talks about husbands and wives in here, but he also talks about his relationship to the church, to his people. There's four things here he talks about in his relation to the church. And I would like to look at those four things in our marriages here this morning. But first of all, we have the unity of Christ and the church. Okay. Second of all, we have the sacrificial love of Christ for the church. His love for his bride. His love for you and I here this morning. Okay? The headship of Christ over the church and the submission of the church to him. Number four, the perfecting of the church by Christ. By Christ. Why does he compare the marriage to the church, to Christ and the church? I believe because marriage homes are very important to our God. And there is a direct connection to the marriage and its relationship, and Christ and his relationship with the church. God, as we talked about earlier, God has instituted marriage from the very beginning. And God gives order to that. We talked about, I wish I could have been in for more of the Sunday school lesson this morning, and we could have just kept going on that for a little bit. But the home and how it's built is so important. Order is so important. In marriage, in home, in life. Imagine this morning a universe with no order. Stars, planets zooming around out there with no order. There would be extreme chaos. We'd probably all be knocked out by floating debris by now. It would be chaos here. First of all, let's consider unity in the marriage. Genesis 2, verse 24 says, "For this cause a man shall leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they two shall become one flesh." What's he talking about? Let's just turn back here. Because when he says, "For this cause," Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, God was done creating the world, and he created Adam. It says, verse 7 of chapter 2, it says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." And then later, Adam named all the animals. And after that, God created for Adam an helpmeet. He created for Adam a woman. He took from Adam's side a rib. Okay? And verse 23 says this, "And Adam said, Now this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. And she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife." And then also over in our text, says, "For we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh." So we think about unity, being at one with Christ, being at one with our relationship, unity with Christ. There needs to be unity in the marriage. First of all, unity comes because they are both part of the body of Christ. Okay? There is unity because you and your spouse find a relationship in Jesus Christ. As we think about, I'm just going to leave this up here, but I'm going to draw a little diagram for you. And we have God at the top. And we have man, and we have woman. And the children are given by God into the marriage. We'll talk about more of that later. But as God sits up in heaven, and as we both have a relationship with God, we then can unite together in a relationship horizontally. But it's only, see, that's what's wrong with our society today. There's no horizontal relationship. There's broken horizontal relationships because the relationship with God isn't what it should be. There's quarrelings, there's fightings, there's a lot to be desired. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 21, "The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor the head to the feet, I have no need of you." This morning, we need each other in marriage. Do you believe this morning that God has led you together? You know, the older I get, the less answers I have. And God does a really good job at taking away answers. But one thing I do know is that my relationship with God is a direct link to how my relationship with my wife goes. It affects it. It really does. If my relationship with God isn't where it should be, my relationship with my wife struggles. Every part of the body. You know, you ever feel like you really don't need your spouse's input? You know, really, it just came at a wrong time. It came, it's the wrong idea, it's the wrong opinion, it's... You know, it's more about my relationship with Christ. You know, one thing I kept coming back to as I thought about this subject, and studied this subject and was thinking about it. It all points back to a relationship with God. It all points back to my standing in God's eyes. And the rest falls into place or comes into place. We see also another aspect of marriage here and of Christ in the church, and that is his love. It says in verse 25 of our text, it says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." Love is something that is hard to just put in a box, or to say, you know, this is love, or that is love, or this. You can't really, love isn't something you can box up and draw lines on. Love isn't something that comes natural to human nature. It rather is quite the opposite. Paul's not talking about here, he's not saying, you know, you love your wife if she submits to you. Or, you know, you love your wife if she does what you want her to. He's not talking about that. Neither is he talking about, you know, you just simply follow your wife around, and you know, she takes the lead, and it's not talking about that either. Neither is Paul talking about just a sexual relationship in a marriage. It's much more than that. That is very much a part of it. But it's far greater than that. It's far deeper than that. It needs to be far deeper than that. In Deuteronomy, God instructs them to, I'll just read verse 5. It says, "When a man hath taken a new wife, he shall not go out to war, neither shall he be charged with any business. But he shall be free at home 1 year, and shall cheer up his wife, which he hath taken." Deuteronomy 24:5. You know, marriage doesn't just happen. Good marriages don't just come to be. I want yourself to consider the question of, what am I willing to give for my marriage? What are you willing to do to save your marriage? You know, you start dating, life's pretty good. You get married. Well, that's not too bad. A few years of marriage, well, still not too bad. Every couple finds their way in marriage. It could be different. It's different for everybody here this morning. You might find it far different than someone else, but it doesn't mean that your marriage is wrong. But there are principles that need to be followed. He is to love his wife as his own body. You are to love There is to be love given in all aspects. Love is more than just, love in a marriage is more than just friendship. Love. The Greek word for this type of love is philia, which is sometimes translated brotherly love. Now, the love between spouses should include friendship love indeed. In Titus 2:4, Paul commands the older women to be sober the minds of the younger women, so that they might phileo their husbands, so that they might love their husbands as friends, sharing interests, having deep discussions, simply enjoying being in each other's company. Now, I read that, and you know, again, there are times, you ever find it where you don't really, the presence of your partner or your spouse doesn't really just enlighten you or just strengthen you? I think this morning, all our marriages find times when there are times of disagreement. There are times when love is simply given out of action because you're commanded to love. One of the things that saddens me in homes is where love isn't there. It's not going to always be some cozy experience. Your children read into your lives. They know whether you truly love your partner. Paul talks about here in verse 25. He says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church." How did Christ love the church? What did he do? This is talking about agape love. A love that doesn't have lines. It doesn't have a box. It doesn't have. It's just love. It's given out. It's given forth. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That he gave his only Son. God so loved the world. His love, agape love. Like the love that simply gives, just gives. Gives because why? Because of your love from God. Because of God's love for you. God loved and gave not because of anything inherently good in us, not because we were attractive or shared some interest with him, but simply because he loved us. So he humbled himself and he gave up all his glory to serve us. He gave up the glories of heaven to come to earth, to live on earth, to die on the cross, to bring us salvation. Why? Because he loved us with agape love. So who are we to hold all that to ourselves and hoard all that to ourselves and not pass it on to other people? And this goes far beyond marriages. This goes to every single person sitting here this morning, that we pass on the love of God in my heart. It's easy this morning to say, well, my partner, my wife does not deserve my love. It's easy to say that, you know, it's their fault. I can hardly love them because of what they do. You know, if Christ told us that, if he said, you know, you're all right, but this, you over here, he died on the cross, and if we accept his provision and we follow his provision, there is salvation. If we follow the direction that he gives us, there is salvation. agape love. You know, and I believe he starts out this portion of scripture with submitting. And he says in verse 21, he says, submitting yourselves one to another, where? In the fear of God. In the fear of God. And he goes on to talk about marriages. But when I am submitting under God and his order in my life, then love in a marriage can find its place. I'd like to think a little bit about, we've discussed unity and love, and think about the headship and submission. We live in a world of women's rights, of fend for yourself. It is a weakling, it is a failure to not stand up for who you are. It comes along with the whole thing of gay and lesbians and other stuff. It comes along, it's a kind of a whole package. I can say who I am, I need to be able to show my rights and show my muscle and self-protection. You know, if someone breaks into my house, if someone comes on my property, I have the willingness to chase them off, to shoot my gun, to whatever. That's our world. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Let's read those verses in 23 and 24. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Wives, you need to submit under the leadership of your husband. You know, I heard the saying already, if I can pull it together, but it goes something like this. He rolls the roost and she rolls the rooster. And, you know, if you find yourself, okay, and he's talking about submitting under the spiritual head of your husband, the spiritual leadership of your husband in the home. And let me hasten to say, when that is not in place, there is a huge gap. And it is a tremendous struggle for a wife to find her place. When the husband does not have his relationship with Christ where it should be. But he says we need to submit. Now, the other thing I want to think about This doesn't mean, first of all, that, you know, you just blindly submit to your husband. That you just simply follow him wherever he goes, not saying a word, doing what he says. A marriage is a relationship where two people are brought together from two different backgrounds, two different homes. They bring a whole world with themselves. And your man and your wife probably look at things very differently. And the challenge is to take those things and to build your own home. But you need to talk about them if you plan to build. There needs to be a relationship going both ways in that, you know, you as a wife are giving to your husband, and you as a husband are accepting that, and the other way around. But one thing that is very important is the husband needs to lead. He needs to be the leader. He needs to lead out. He needs to communicate to his wife the direction and order in their home. he needs to communicate. You know, Christ, as his verse, it says, "For therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." And he goes right on to say, he says, "Husbands, love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church." What? "And gave himself for it." You know, Christ didn't just, you know, love humankind. No, he did something about it. He did something about it. We as men need to do something about our love for our wives. You know, one of the greatest things that you can do for your marriage, men, is figure out what makes your wife feel loved. And the greatest thing you can do for your marriage is realize, think about what makes your husband feel respected. Because those two things will grow far more in a marriage. You know, why does the... See, you have to realize that when the wife just submits to her husband, respects her husband, respects his decisions, and the man simply loves his wife and simply cares for her, the two complement each other. And when you do them, okay, when you do them with lines drawn, "I will respect him when he does, I will love her when she does," you will, love and respect will be gone. And you'll be on this vicious cycle because you will never respect your husband and you will never love your wife. Because the lines that you draw will be, you need to do it because your relationship with Christ and because God commands it. And in the end, the one will follow the other. And your relationship and your marriage will grow tremendously. One writer said this. He said, "My submission to my husband is a kind of gauge on a measure of degree in which I am submitted to Christ. I realize that my submission to my husband is not my gift to him to be received gratefully on his part, or to be returned in kind, nor is it a subtle form of blackmail. See how submissive I was in this circumstance, Lord. Now what about seeing some results? In fact, if I were submitting to him as unto the Lord, I wouldn't care what results were. That is his business." In other words, we submit to our husbands because Christ commanded it. Because Christ said, because of your relationship with Christ, let Christ work out the details of that. You know, when you release your husband to God, God can do a far better job at fixing him up and bringing circumstances into his life than you can ever do as a wife. You can try to make it right. You can try to fix him, try to guide him, try to put him in the right path, and he will resent you to the fullest. The same way goes the other way with respect. We men can try to teach our wives how to respect us. It never works. I can see we're going to have to keep moving. Christ sets an order of headship here. It says in Colossians 3:19, it says, "Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them." He says here in our passage, he says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Therefore, the church is subject unto Christ. So let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." You know, first of all, it's both of our, you are not in between God. You as men are not in between your wife's relationship with God. There needs to be relationship. The two of you need to have a relationship in God, first of all. That needs to be in place for both of you to find your place. You know, as we find our place in marriage, there is a perfection that takes place. You know, the day you get married is the day that you start a journey. And that journey starts side by side. And you start that journey and you either go like this or you go like this. And I'm not saying when it starts going like this that it can never be corrected. It's just, you know, useless cause. It's just, you know, it went like this and we're separated. That's what our world says. It says, well, he or she wasn't for me. We'll just call it quits. We'll go find somebody else. And they go from one marriage partner to the other and it keeps on going. The percentage of divorce in the first is less than the percentage of the divorce in the second. In other words, you know, first of all, they decide that, you know, he or she wasn't for me, and they separate, and they find somebody else. And the rate of the second divorce is a lot higher than the first. Why? This isn't what God intended. It's not what God meant. Well, and we have many churches across the world that are teaching that. It's okay. It's all right to separate. You know, you just weren't made for each other. And I think if we were all honest with each other, you know, sometimes you can feel that way. The emotion of marriage. Is it riveted? You know, we're pretty good at, we've been taught well in the fact that divorce isn't an option. It's just not an option, you know, you just don't look at it. And that's good, that's right. I believe that. But there's another aspect that I see, and that is that there's a lot of homes where, yeah, divorce wasn't an option, but is it a lot different? Is there a lot difference? Are they living, they're pretty much separate in everything they do. There's not a working together. You know, the way we can bring perfection to our marriage is by loving and respecting our spouses. Love and respect. We need to bring that love, that agape love. We do the love and respect, we simply do because of Christ. Command, not because of, if you try to draw lines on it, if you try to love and try to put it in a box, it will never work. It will never work. And as we make Christ our head, as we make Christ our leader, our guide, the marriage relationship will dwell together in harmony. And we'll be able to find our place. And it doesn't say that just, you know, if I have all that in place, then it's going to be all smooth and it's going to be, you know, relationship is going to be happy and I will experience no pain and I will. We live in a fallen world. Your wife isn't going to always please and your husband isn't going to always do what you want him to. You're not going to always agree. That's not how it works. We need to take the time. If we intend for our marriage to grow, we need to take the time to build it. We need to take time to consider and to think about how much time, men and women, do you spend thinking about what you can do for your spouse? Are you wrapped up in your other life and, you know, you never get around to talking. You never get... Again, as Paul talks here, he gives the thing of an ideal marriage. And it doesn't always work out that way. But again, I come back to the question that we need to ask ourselves. And that is that, what am I willing to give for my marriage? What are you willing to do? How far are you willing to go? What are you willing to give up? Christ was willing to give up everything for you and I. He gave up it all. He gave up the glories of heaven. He gave up that, not only that, but he died the death of the cross, the death of a criminal. He died on the cross for your salvation. And he compares his love for the church as your love for your marriage. So it lies in my relationship with Christ that'll build my love for my marriage. That's the own prayer.